Jesus, I give you everything, God. I give you my heart, Lord. I give you my mind, Lord Jesus. Lead us, Lord. Guide us, Lord Jesus, in the direction you would have us to go, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I wanted to inform you that tonight, as pastor's Bible study, it's not going to be a normal, necessarily, service, but I'm going to be speaking for a few minutes, and then Pastor Roy will be speaking and some necessary things. And but 1 Corinthians 3, if you're there, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 3, 4. It says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the increase, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Let's just pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. Lord would just guide us and lead us tonight. Lord, we thank you so much. Have your way in this place. Let your anointing rest in this house, Lord God. Lord Jesus, as we communicate these things, Lord, just have your way in this place tonight. God, we give you all the praise, all the glory. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Julie Powell, I have a question for you. Because do you still have a garden? I know you had at one point. You still do. And you grow like tomatoes, right? I remember seeing that a while back. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be wrong, because I'm not a gardener. I kill things, tend to kill plants. And we had a cactus, and that survived for a good year and a half, and it too died. So we are experts. But let me help me understand. Do you come out when it's time to gather the tomatoes, having done absolutely nothing throughout the season, and you come out one morning and boom, there's a tomato plant there? Okay, so if I've been watching a little bit online the this trial that's going on, so I feel like a prosecutor right now. So help me understand. No. But you take a seed, a tomato seed, or I don't know how tomatoes work, but something. And you, is that correct? Okay, you buy the plants. But you have to, you don't just take frozen soil. You actually like maybe get it the soil ready. Is that correct? That's correct. Thank you. And sorry. But then you plant the tomato plant. Is that correct? Correct. Do you just then leave it and see you and come? No, do you have to water it? Is that correct? Maybe fertilize it? All right. See, I'm smart enough to know that you just don't find corn in the field in the fall and say, "Well, where did this stock come from? Man." No. There's a harvesting process. There's a planting process. First, I'm not an expert, but I know that you have to get the soil ready. And some farmers out there and gardeners are like, "Yep, you got to get it ready. You got to till it up. You got to mix it up. You just don't hard pack dirt and say, okay, poke a hole down and put a seed." And no, you have to get the soil ready. You then have to plant a seed. Amen. And then you have to water that seed, and hopefully we get some sunshine, and we don't get some floods, and we don't get baked, but we get some perfect conditions for growth. And slowly over time, that with a little TLC, the plant or the corn or the crop or whatever, it grows and grows, and finally it's ready to be harvested. Finally ready for the harvest. It's a process. You can't skip a step. Amen? And I just a little nugget here tonight. The harvest process can be seen in our personal lives. Maybe you're not seeing that harvest, so to speak, or that blessing that you've been wanting or seeking or needing. Maybe God's trying to till up that soil in your life. Maybe you're not ready for that blessing. Maybe you need to get some things tilled up. Maybe you need to get some seed planted, some greater understanding. I hope I leave that with you tonight. But also we can see that in ministries. Ministries in an infancy stage, and they have to be ready to go, and the soil needs to be tilled, and then there's watering and growth, and then we see revival. We see souls saved. We see the impact of that ministry. And this became very evident for Fiona and I in youth ministry. We took over as youth pastors in 2003 and got married in summer of 2004. And within a couple years, I have to be honest, I was frustrated. We weren't seeing what we had envisioned. We had this vision of just everything's going to happen. I mean, youth are just going to fall in line and, you know, just they're all going to suddenly be great young people. And we're just going to, it wasn't happening though. It wasn't happening like we thought it was. And we went to the Lord, began to seek the Lord, because it's really hard to minister when you're frustrated, when you're kind of like, what in the world is going on? And the Lord spoke this concept and revealed this concept to me as far as it impacted the youth ministry. And the Lord showed me that and spoke to our hearts that we were in the stage of tilling the soil. That was our role at that time. You know, the youth ministry, we saw the young people here tonight leading worship, leading us all in worship. 8 years ago, when we had a youth service, when we had a youth week, that wasn't the case. There wasn't a confidence that the young people could lead a service. Honestly, we took over and bless them, but some folks kind of were negative about young people. Like, man, just young people are never going to amount to anything. I feel sorry for you. There was perceptions, honestly, in our church about youth ministry, about what young people can do. And so God really revealed to us that we were here to till the soil. We started one of the tools, Carl said, the new Teen Extreme newsletters out. We started that. Why? Not to, I mean, yeah, it's great to see your picture in the newsletter, young people. But really, it wasn't for our benefit. It was to show the church what was going on and really till the soil in the youth ministry. And God showed us that. And then about a year and a half ago, we began to feel that process of tilling the soil was over. We had already begun to plant and water, but we felt there was another season getting ready to come. But we didn't know what it was, when it was going to happen. At the same time, this was a year and a half ago, fall of 2009, we felt a missing element in the youth ministry was the opportunity for the harvest, so to speak. There wasn't an opportunity for young people to bring their friends to a youth service. And so we began our Wednesday nights Ignite service back then. And in the last year or so, we've seen about 10 get the Holy Ghost and are baptized. And that's been exciting. Yet, and despite all that, we still, in our spirits, didn't feel that was the harvest. We felt like we were planting the seed, getting it watered, and just setting things up. But we still felt in our spirits that there was something greater coming around the horizon. It was over Memorial Day of last year that we went on vacation. We went down to the Gatlinburg area, got away from the touristy stuff, and relaxed in the Smoky Mountains, rented a cabin, and just got away. And it was just it was an awesome time of resting, relaxation. But we really, Fiona and I, really, really spent some time in concerted prayer. And just all these feelings of, there's something coming. What is it, God? What is it, God? Well, God didn't really reveal anything that week down in Tennessee. But we came home feeling stronger than ever before that something was about to break. Something was about to happen in the youth ministry. That Wednesday night, we had a Ignite service. We got back on Tuesday, so we had planned that everything would be run by everyone else because we just couldn't handle it. So the youth all ran the music, and the youth team helped out. James Novak and Carl, they tag-team preached. Many of youth and young adults were in there. Awesome service, and it was during worship. Fiona and I sitting there, and just there's just a freedom of worship, and not even thinking about it. And God spoke to my heart. And he specifically said, Phil, this is your last school year as youth pastor. This is your last school year. The upcoming school year will be your last as youth pastor. And so young people, parents, church, this will be our last summer as youth pastors here at Calvary Gospel Church. And by the end of August, we will be transitioning out of youth ministry. I have to tell you, I knew the Lord had spoken, but it wasn't just a... Now, granted, thinking about fundraising and being not having to fundraise, I was rejoicing. No, I'm still probably going to be helping fundraise, but even though I knew the Lord had spoken to me, I had a very hard time accepting it. I came in college in 97 to go to college, and in the middle of college, it was 99, I believe, the door opened for me to help lead the youth choir. And from 99 until today, I have been working with the young people, and it's pretty much the whole time I've been here. 12 plus years, and this is all I've done. And that was Wednesday. On Sunday in pre-service prayer, I was really, really, by this time, struggling. I knew the Lord had spoken to me, but maybe not, God. Maybe that was just my wishful thinking, or maybe it was just something, you know, I ate that night. Maybe it wasn't really you, God. And I began to doubt. And so in pre-service prayer, I felt God say, open up the Bible. And then I began to doubt that I felt him say that. I'm like, okay, this is just me. I'm just trying to, you know, the whole open the Bible and, oh, the first verse you see trick, you know, and God will speak to me. Oh! It's never happened for me. I mean, I've tried it. And I'm like, okay, it's just me again trying to, you know. But I really felt him. I felt like, okay, whatever. I opened up the Bible and it came to our opening scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:4, and it says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And I'm like, see, God? Yeah, it was just me, and I really felt him kind of just like, psh, like, keep reading. And then we go down, and the whole watering, harvesting concept, and the Lord brought it all back to memory, the concept that he had said that we were here to till the soil, to do some more planting, to do some watering. And I felt him confirm through his word what he had spoken to me Wednesday. I heard his voice. I read in the word. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. I know all of you would just jump right then. But I still struggled with it. I went from the scripture and I continued praying in pre-service prayer. And I pulled out the last weapon to disprove all of this. The fleece. And, you know, you try to pick the weirdest fleece that you can. And, you know, I'm like, all right, God. I'm like, this is so huge. Because it really was. And I said, God, I picked random people. I said, let Roy and Patrick, my friend Patrick, let them come up to me. And I don't remember what time frame I gave God. Let them come up to me and say something about youth ministry and something, I don't know. And I laid out the fleece and I felt, see, I'm like Gideon, God. Yeah, come on, you can prove it to me too. And I laid the fleece out before God and church started. I went through the motions during worship. And then Brother Seidel got up to speak. And I'll never forget this. I don't remember the scripture he used. Honestly, I don't really remember what he preached at all. But I remember that he got up after reading scripture and said, tonight I will be speaking on the topic, hello, God speaking. Well, I didn't get anything out of service because I was just waiting to pray. And at altar call, I rushed to the front, apologized to God, withdrew all the fleeces, and just gave everything to him. And said, okay, God, this will be our last school year. You know, the second nugget before I move on. Some of us God speaks to, and we really struggle with the thought that he implants in our hearts. You know, some of us God has spoken to about ministry. There's some that I know have who have talked to us over the years that I felt the call to missions, and I've watched kind of run from that. I know that God speaks to our hearts, and it's too easy to say, I'm busy with life, God, and I really don't think I can attain to that, or that's not me. If you hear the voice of God, church, take that step of faith. Take that leap of faith, it might be. But don't ignore his call. Let's do what he's calling us to do. So what about the harvest? What about the continued planting? The reality of what God was saying is that your time is done. You've done your job. You've tilled the soil. You've planted. You've watered. But you will not be the one that reaps what you have labored for. John 4, 35 through 38 says, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And that he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that true saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent to you to reap that wherein ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You know, we've labored, Fiona and I, in youth ministry, and we are excited to rejoice as a harvest starts to be brought in, as it begins to be reaped. So who's that person? The very night that God spoke to me about being done, saying this is the last school year, God also spoke to Fiona and I, both of us, about who would be reaping where we had sown. As Carl Grant began to preach that night, God spoke to our hearts as well and said, you're looking at the next youth pastor. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know if he would be ready in a year. He was dating Cecily, but there wasn't any indication of marriage on the horizon. And plus, really, selecting the next youth pastor is not my role. That's pastor's job. That's the pastoral staff. But I knew it was the Lord who had spoken. And I want to tell you this little bit. Just a few weeks later, we had an incredible move of God in Ignite, as the young people joined us before youth camp in a two-week fast and committed to it. As we were praying around the front at the end of service, I noticed Carl was laid flat on the floor seeking the face of God. I didn't necessarily think really anything of it, but several weeks later, he came to me. He had no clue what God had spoken to us. But he said he saw so vividly that he had never had God speak to him so clearly, and he had seen so vividly the youth group of the future. He didn't know what God was stirring in the waters. But it confirmed to me about Carl. You see, God was giving him the vision of the youth, the vision of the harvest. He hadn't been giving it to Fiona. I know there's going to be harvest, I without a doubt. But I wasn't seeing it in prayer. But Carl was. And that really comforted my heart. And so over the next 3 months, till the end of August, we are going to be meeting with Carl and Cecily, going over anything and everything about youth ministry. We met last night for our first time and chatted and had dinner. And I'm so pumped, church. I'm so pumped, young people, about what God has in store. I'd like at this time, Carl and Cecily, if you could come forward, just come down to the front. Just right here in the altar area. You can face me, actually. Sorry. I have to tell you that being a youth pastor is a hard road to journey down. There's a lot of ups. There's a lot of downs. A lot of highs and a lot of lows. And Carl and Cecily are going to need us as a church to help them, to support them. So Carl and Cecily, you know, makes sense, but if you could just raise your hands, just lift your hands in the air. There's a story in the Bible found in Exodus 17 where the children of Israel faced off against the Amalekites. While they fought in the valley, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And the Bible says in Exodus 17, 11 through 13, it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So as I finish my portion, and you guys keep raising your hands, Carl and Cecily are going to need some Aarons, they're going to need some Hers in their life as they take on this responsibility. So I wonder right now if there's a youth parent who will come right now up to the front and help hold their arms up and symbolically say, I commit to support you. I wonder if there's a youth team member who would come and do the same. I wonder if there's a young person that would join in and say, I commit to support your leadership in my life. Right now, I'd ask for the elders of the church to come, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Roy, Pastor Seidel, if you're in here, ministers, if you would come right now. And as we pray for Carl and Cecily, pray a prayer of anointing, pray a prayer of strength. And church, if you would just stand and lift a hand and raise it toward them as we pray for them. Come on, church, let's pray for them. Be the overseer of the young people, the present and the future of this church. Responsible for their souls, responsible for leading and guiding them. Lord, let your anointing rest upon them. Let a burden greater than ever before, God, Jesus, be laid upon them, God. They lay awake at night as they seek your face, Lord God. Anoint, Lord God, Jesus them. Lord Jesus, anointing. Anoint their ministry, God. Give them wisdom, Lord Jesus, God. They lead these young people, God. Lord, we thank you, God, Jesus, God. And the harvest, Lord Jesus, God, has already started. We thank you, Lord God, Jesus, for what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord Jesus, God.
You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and continue on because this is just our first phase of this tonight. Really don't have a title. Sister Brenda asked about her title tonight, and I really don't have a title. But I'm very thankful. I'm very excited about what God is doing amongst the church, amongst the body. I could begin my portion of this tonight with 1 Corinthians 12:27. If you could just help me to get through this next portion. I told Carl, I said, I'm probably going to cry, so cry with me. 1 Corinthians 12:27, the Bible says that now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, which can be interpreted as administration, and diversities of tongues. Now when we look at this section of Scripture, Paul is talking about the various roles and the various areas that in the body of Christ as it relates to a church. And if we look at our church here tonight, we can see we have our pastor who is not with us here tonight. Unfortunately, I would have loved to have him here tonight, but it is what it is. But our pastor, he's our senior pastor, and then there's pastors, associates, and assistants that are under him. And then under those associates and assistants, there are other pastors that have minister's license that are not on staff, so they're not necessarily considered an assistant or associate. But then we have various directors and various leaders and such of the church. And each and every one of us has a specific role in the body of Christ. When you look at yourself tonight, and as this kind of unfolds here and the events unfold tonight, you need to ask yourself this question: what is my role in the body of Christ? What is my position? It's not really position, I should say, but what is my responsibility in the body of Christ? What am I doing as a member of this body? Now, we look at the body of Christ, and we can look at our fleshly bodies. And we've all often made the comparison as each member of this body, each individual in here, no matter how important you think your role is or isn't, there's an importance in your role. I want you to understand that it doesn't matter how large your role is, what the title of your role is, your role is important. Now, not too long ago, I was working on a project around the house, and, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm not as old as hopefully I'm going to get, but years ago, I mean, I just, you know, it was just wide open. You're going to fix something, just fix it. If you're going to tear something up, just tear it up, and I had this in my mind, I'm going to hang some cabinets, and I can do this by myself. I don't really need anybody to help me. So I began this process, and in the process of it, I got one cabinet a little bit off level, and I went to try to adjust it, and I had the cabinet fall, and I tried to grab it, and I ended up really hurting my thumb. And I heard it pop, I felt it pop, and it just was immediately, it just that pain goes all the way down your forearm to your elbow, and man, did that hurt. And I went to pick up the drill, and I couldn't even pick up the drill to take and try to put the screws back in, and it's just your thumb. It's just the thumb. And I thought, you know what, it's my right hand, it's my right thumb. I can learn for a few days to get along without my right thumb. I mean, if I have to, I can make it work. Until I went to get something to drink. Now, if you're typically right-handed, not that my left hand can't pick up a bottle of water, but you're so used to doing things with your right hand, try picking up something with your right hand and not using your thumb. Now, we can cheat, but if you took your thumb and taped it to your palm so it can't move, try picking up something. Try turning a key in your car without the use of your thumb. Try brushing your teeth or shaving without the use of your thumb. You see, I understood and I figured out at that moment, even though I didn't think the thumb was as important as it really is, I realized that, man, do I need my thumb. I mean, just try getting along without. As days went by, it got worse. It didn't get better. It got worse and worse and worse. I ended up going to the doctor. Of course, they wanted to do an MRI and all of this kind of stuff and send me to a therapist. And I'm like, no, not going that route. Costs too much money. I'm still paying for the last MRI that I didn't need because of my knee healing. I'm not going to, Lord, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to heal my thumb. Well, my thumb's still sore. It still hurts and it still pops to this day. And it's been months later. Now, when you look at this passage, Paul is comparing the church to physical as well as spiritual, that we're all members in particular, each having a role. And sometimes we look and we say, I wish I had the gift of preaching. Maybe God has given you the burden and the desire to preach. And if that is so, then you need to take and you need to start working on that burden and on that desire. You probably won't end up here right away. But keep working at it because God will make room for your gift if it's a gift from God. He didn't give it to you for no purpose at all. Whatever your gift is, some have the gift of preaching and some have the gift of teaching. Some people are excellent teachers. Now, myself, I have the gift of gab. And some of you have the gift of gab. We're really good at the gift of gab. That's where I excel in sometimes is the gift of gab. I love to talk. But we're all connected in the body of Christ. And your service, your ministry is essential to the body of Christ. Whatever ministry that you are in tonight is essential in the body of Christ. Each of us has a role to play, and every role is important. And there's no small service to God. God doesn't look down and say, you know what, because you're youth pastor, I'm going to put more importance on you. You may have more responsibility, but God doesn't always look down and say that that role is a more important role. And so many times we are the ones that look at those roles and say, well, that's a more important role. There's no insignificant ministries in the church. Every ministry in the church matters. No matter what ministry you are in here tonight, every ministry matters. Every ministry has a role. Now, there are some ministries that are more visible than others. I think that the visible ministries, we look up here and we see all of this, the singers all the time, the musicians, and they're up here in front and people come in and everybody sees them up here singing and playing, and the preacher may be up here preaching, or Brother James Hawk is up here and Brother John Seidel and Brother Rich Thomas and all of the pastors and such, and we look at that and we say, oh man, if I could just have that role. If I could maybe be in the sound or in the overhead, if I could maybe do some of these things, but can you help clean the building? And it doesn't seem like very many people want to help clean the building sometimes. What about mowing the grass? What would the church look like if it went all summer long and no one mowed the grass or no one watered the plants out there that Sister Millen, if she just let all of those weeds grow. What would the church look like when you brought your guests to church and the grass was up past your waist and you couldn't play volleyball because you couldn't find the ball once it hit the ground? Now you think mowing the grass isn't really that important until you come in and you see it up this high. What about the snow plowing? We have my son-in-law plows the snow here at church, and you know, we think that's kind of insignificant until we get 16 inches of snow and we can't get in and out of the parking lot. The salting of the sidewalks, all of this stuff has to be done. These are all ministries that someone is involved in and someone is doing. Someone has to clean the restrooms. Imagine what it would be like if we went 4 or 5 or 6 weeks here and no one cleaned the restrooms. Can you imagine what it would be like? Man, I'm going to church. I'm going to have to bring my own toiletries because no one cleans the restrooms. No one empties the trash. No one restocks the bathrooms. But you see, there's someone that has taken that upon as a ministry to serve the body. It's a very important function of the ministry. But you can't look at that and say, well, is that more important than preaching? It's a different role. And when we look at this and we compare this to the body and such, there's, you know, my thumb isn't necessarily the most important member of my body, but it's an important member. When you go home tonight, the most important light fixture in your house is not the chandelier that's over your kitchen table. It's that nightlight that shines so insignificant in the hallway that keeps you from running into the door jam when you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. That is the most important light in your house. But no one comes in and says, oh man, that's a beautiful nightlight. I've never seen anything like it. What happens when one part of your body fails to function and you get sick? The rest of the body suffers. Can you just imagine if your heart decided that, you know what? I'm sick and tired of pumping blood for the rest of this thing. I'm down here and I am working 24/7. I never get to rest. The eyes get to close at night. Everything else gets to go into relaxed mode. The lungs get to slow down. The brain gets to slow down. And I got to sit here and I got to keep pumping 72 beats a minute no matter what. So you know what? I'm going to send a notice to the brain and the rest of the body that from here until the end of the year, for the next 6 months, I'm taking time off. I'm going to shut down. Now what would happen to the rest of the body? You know what would happen. The rest of the body would die. It would be just a matter of a few minutes, and the body would start to die. As the oxygen is shut off, the blood flow stops, the brain, all of the cells in the body tend to die and they begin toxic, and all of this process of death begins. And as we look today at thousands of churches across this country, that's exactly what's happening to churches, because there's Christians all over this world that just simply are unwilling to serve. You're saying, you know what? I've had enough. Don't want to deal with it anymore. I've put my time in. I'm done. They sit on the sideline as spectators. And as a result, the body begins to suffer. And God has called you to a service far beyond anything that you could ever imagine. God, He created you for a life. When He created you, He had a ministry in mind for you. He had a ministry in mind for me. He created each and every one of us to do His work. And He is preparing you. He's preparing me to serve others. That's what Christianity is about. It's about serving others. Service. Service. And as Brother Phil was talking tonight about God dealing with him and the youth ministry and Brother Carl and dealing with Brother Carl and Cecily, and my mind went back to 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was. Carl wasn't in the church. He came over to my house and he was going to do some painting. And Bryce was there, and Bryce and Aunt Lois, my wife, got in the car and they went into town to get some pieces and whatever. I forget what it was. And I told Carl, I said, I want to talk with you about something. I began to talk with Carl about a dream that I had. Oh, I have some really crazy dreams. I'll be honest, I'll be the first one to tell you. My brain, sometimes I wake up and I wonder, where in the world did that come from? But I saw Carl. He wasn't living for God. Wasn't dating Cecily. I saw Carl up here on this platform in a white turtleneck shirt. And he was preaching to a house full of young people. This whole auditorium was full of people with spiked haircuts, tattoos, more bling than you could ever find anywhere. It was just like, what in the world is this audience? That's what I felt. Where did all of these kids come from? And Carl was up here and he was preaching, and the power of God was falling in that place. It's not a, what was a dream has become a reality. We're seeing this happen. I'm able to see this happen, and it's not anything special for me. I don't know why God gave it to me. I related to Carl that day, and I don't know if Carl was ready for it or not. I just felt in the Holy Ghost, I need to tell him this. And here's Carl, Cecily, God moving in their lives. And as Phil and Fiona begin to talk to me about feeling a restlessness in their spirit, I begin to share with them some things in my own life. A restlessness. I don't know if you've ever had this feeling of just this feeling that, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just this feeling that there's a change over the horizon and you're trying to figure out what that change is, but you can't put your finger on it. And you want to be prepared for it, but you don't know what it is. And you keep praying, and I kept praying, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be frustrated. I know I talked with a few members of the congregation getting advice, and I said, you know, I'm feeling very frustrated right now because I know God is changing and God is moving, but I can't quite put it all together yet. And then Brother Phil and Sister Fiona, we went out, and I believe it was Papa Jimmy's Pizza. They started talking about how they felt, and I said, you know what, I'm feeling the same thing. It wasn't short, wasn't very long after that, and Tim and Kim Knopp, we went out to eat, and I believe it was TGI Fridays. We're sitting there talking, and they talked about their campus ministries. CMI, they'd been in campus ministry since 1985, 86, somewhere in that area. They were 19 years old when they took over the campus ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church, and they've been working very faithful, and they talked about feeling that they have this uneasiness, this not really frustration, but just in their spirit that God's moving. God's wanting to move them, and they're not really for sure. And they asked if they could help me pray. And so you got all of these things going on. And then shortly after that, Shane and Vonna Mackey approached me and talked about their God moving in their spirit about hyphen ministry. And was it long after that? Then it was Peter and Casey Sandin talking about God moving in their life about a young couple's ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church. And all of this thing, I mean, you're having all of these conversations with all these different people, and it's like, okay, Lord, we need to just get together and start putting the pieces of this puzzle together because there's some things happening here. God's moving in this area. All of our student ministries, God's moving in this area. And I started praying, and I met with Pastor and talked with Pastor, and we started praying, and God started to move. It wasn't shortly after that that Tim and Kim stepped down from campus, and I remember when they called me, they said, this is not what you want to hear, and I actually said, well, I kind of expected this because of what else was going on. I'm not going to try to second guess God. It's not my kingdom, it's his. You're not my people, you're his people. I didn't die for you, he did. I do the best I can do to help in whatever I can help in. But I knew that God was making some changes and God was doing some things in student ministries. So tonight, if I could have Tim and Kim Knopp, if they could please stand. And if they could come down here to the front, and I would like Sister Hannah LaDuc to come down. A lot of you don't know Sister Hannah. She comes from Appleton, Brother Soto's church. She's a very fine young lady. Worship, praying. You're going to have to Just bear, you can look at me for now, but we'll have you all turn around in a little bit. And Tim and Kim Knopp are stepping down from our campus ministry, and Sister Hannah LaDuke is going to take the campus ministry and continue on the UW campus. So I'm excited about that. I told her in conversation, we're not going to leave you. We're not going to forsake you. We're not going to just tell you, here it is, here's the keys. It's your responsibility from here on out, because we're a body. And we work together in unity. We work together in unison. When one member suffers, we all should suffer. That's the way the body is. We have Shane and Vonna Mackey that have taken over recently our hyphen ministry. And if Shane and Vonna Mackey could please come forward. And for those of you that aren't aware, hyphen ministry is 18 to 30. And it's predominantly for singles. Now, if you're a married couple, we'll get to that if you're in that age group. But the hyphen ministry is a ministry that this church, that particular age group, we had been missing a vital piece of the puzzle. After youth ministry, there was campus, and there wasn't much else. If you didn't attend the UW campus, if you didn't go to campus, there wasn't a whole lot for you. And hyphen ministry, our organization, this is a national organization from the UPCI International, and Shane and Vonna Mackey had approached me and talked about wanting to get involved in this particular ministry before, I believe it was even hyphen ministry had come along. I think it was right about that same time or there close to it that hyphen came along, and we were able to take and use that as kind of a format to take and propel the ministry here in the church. But we didn't want to take hyphen ministry and rob campus ministry, because we're dealing with a lot of the same ages of students. And because Sister Hannah LaDuke is just stepping into this role as over the campus ministry, our hyphen ministry is going to take and assist our campus ministry. Because remember, we're one body. When one member suffers, when one ministry suffers, the whole church can suffer. So what's going to happen here is she has a team already built around her that's ready to assist her in whatever area she needs assisting in, and that is our hyphen ministry. Our campus ministry is going to become an outreach ministry of hyphen ministry. Now, we were told by headquarters that every church that has started a hyphen ministry has lost their campus ministry, and that's not going to happen here, because we're going to do it to where that hyphen ministry is not just an in-reach. When you go to Bible studies, if you're a hyphen and hyphen ministry and you're going to learn how to teach Bible studies, you're going to be assisting in some of that teaching on the university campus, assisting Sister Hannah LaDuke as she works through her burden that God has given her for the UW campus. Many of our hyphen ministry students have recently been through campus. So that's how this is going to work. So those of you out there in the congregation, Tim and Kim Knopp, you say, well, what's happening to Tim and Kim Knopp? Where are they going to go? Well, God is providing a ministry for them within our hyphen ministry and within our youth ministry and such. And I'm excited about this, and this is a little premature as far as all the details, but our church, we have so many young ministers, or so many young people in our church that are going on to college, that are come from single families, that their parents don't attend church, and they don't have anyone to coach them through the process. Not just the process of school, but through the Christian life process. So Tim and Kim Knopp, and we're still working on some of these details, are going to become student ministry's life coach. To where that if you have a young person and they're struggling, and they're in high school, or they're in college, or they're looking to go to college, and they're struggling with trying to figure out which direction they need to go, Tim and Kim Knopp are going to be your go-to person. You can work through hyphen ministry, you can work through the campus ministry, you can work through the youth ministry, but they'll probably end up with Tim and Kim Knopp as far as working with that. Now, Sister Knopp actually has a degree in family counseling at the university when she was in going to school back all those years ago. So they're very well qualified for this. I don't think I've ever seen Tim or Kim Knopp lose their cool. Very, very mature, responsible Christians. And that's what this world needs more of. So I'm excited about that. Now you may say, well, what about the rest of student ministries? We have our Sunday school, which is Brother and Sister Thompson, if they would please stand and come up here. And they're over our Sunday school. Sunday school is a very vital portion of Calvary Gospel Church. For those of you that don't know, Brother and Sister Thompson came here from the Dells. He has had years of pastoring experience. He's a very level-headed individual. Sister Thompson works in our children's depot, our kids' depot, and she's our assistant director of our children's, of our kids' depot daycare, child care center. Got to say that right. We don't take care of days here. We take care of children. That's the speech I always get when I call it a daycare. They have that down pat. I have the good response for it too. So so they are over our Sunday school, and they bring an element to our Sunday school of maturity. They're able to handle the situations and things that come up, and they have a staff that works with them and under them and such, and I'm very appreciative of what they're able to take and accomplish and add to Calvary Gospel Church. We also have our quizzing ministry, which I do not believe that our quizzing director is here tonight. I don't see Brother. They're out of town, so I think Brother Perry Hicks works in that area, and also I think Brother Chris Zimmerman. So if maybe if you two could come down in their stead. I don't know if Ryan, are you still involved in it, Ryan? Go ahead and come on down. We have our Bible quizzing. And our Bible quizzing, we see the children, the youth down here. And you're going to have to just keep coming across here. The Bible quizzing, we see them all the time coming up with their trophies. They have a tremendous burden and a big responsibility teaching all of these children the various, they're always studying. They get a lot of work out of these youngsters, and it's a great ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church, teaching our young people the Word of God, hiding it in their hearts. We also have our bus ministry, which is Brother Daniel and Sister Mary Capaccio. She's not here tonight, so Brother Daniel, if you would please come. Our bus ministry is a vital ministry to Calvary Gospel Church. We bring in number of young people and adults in our bus ministry, and it's an honor to be able to have them on the team. I think Brother Daniel has been here longer than any student ministry's staff member. He's the oldest as far as tenure, I believe. I don't know how long you've been on the bus ministry, Brother Daniel, but it's been 30 plus years. So I applaud him for his work. And then we have also Sister Jessica and Brother John Rivas that work as my personal assistant from time to time. Sister Jessica helps with many, many, many projects that we work on here at Calvary Gospel Church. And if Sister Jessica and Brother John, you can go ahead and come along. He's over our IT. He doesn't work a lot in student ministries unless there's computer problems. Of course, then we have our new youth pastors, which is Carl and Cecily, if they would please come. And then also, our latest ministry that we have added is a young couples ministry. And Peter Sandin and Sister Casey Sandin are in charge or taking over our young couples ministry, and this is in the development stages. It will continue to be developed as time goes on. And Brother Peter right now, and Sister Casey's working with him. Brother Peter so many times gets all the credit for it, but both of them with the leadership classes, I appreciate their work that they're doing in the leadership. That's affecting the whole congregation. But with our couples ministry, our young couples, if they would please come and join So what we're going to be doing tonight is, this is hard for me. I'm trying to be brave. My wife and I took over our Sunday school 14 years ago. This month, 1997, was when we first were asked to take over the Sunday school. And that was our first ministry here. We saw our Sunday school grow, staff-wise, maturity-wise, student-wise. God has really blessed. We have a tremendous staff in Sunday school. We don't have a high turnover. That's attributing to good leadership of the Thompsons that have been working so hard, and I appreciate that. But we took over the Sunday school, and then shortly after that, it was our Wednesday night program, which Brother and Sister Thompson also oversee the Wednesday night. And then as things evolved, it was bus ministry and then youth. And then we had Bible quizzing, and that was how Student Ministries was formed. It was formed over a period of 4 to 5 years. I forget the exact time frame as all of this kind of came together. And as many of you know, I am the pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church of Student Ministries. I oversee all of the various areas that need overseeing. I don't have to do a tremendous amount of work at certain times, and there are other times there's a lot of work that goes involved with it, depending on the season and what's going on here as far as our calendar goes. But all of these individuals that are standing in front of you tonight are very exemplary examples of Christianity. You have such a talented group of individuals, people that have a love for the body of Christ, but have a love for one another, a love for souls, and for that, I'm so very excited. As of tonight, now this is a transition. We're making this public tonight, but this is a transition that will take place through the summer, and we'll be in full swing come September 1st with the changes that are going on. But my wife and I will be resigning as the pastor of Student Ministries, and Brother Phil and Sister Fiona Demas will be taking over that position. So if they would please come.
Amen. And as my first official act of the pastor of Student Ministries, if Sister Lois could come up here. Gotcha, Roy. You know, Extreme Days, we honor the youth pastor at the Children Family Crusade. We always honor the children's pastor, the Sunday school director. And, you know, behind all of it has been Pastor Roy. He may be touching on this shortly, and he has a little bit more to go, but this is the best time to interrupt him. But if you would actually look at all the ministries he is over, I don't know where this came from, but thanks, Roy. The yellow on the right side is Student Ministries, and he's over all these other ministries all the way from the right to the left. And he has worked tirelessly to help us as Student Ministries leaders to grow, to encourage us, to provide resources, and just be there when we need it, all kind of silent behind the scenes. And honestly, I don't know, except at October when we honor the pastors, if we have ever really truly honored Roy and Lois as pastor of Student Ministry. So we have a gift, if Sister Jessica could bring that, and we want to present this to Roy and Lois, and we just so very much appreciate all their efforts. I'm sure they got more to say, but amen.
Wow. Says, thank you, Pastor Howie. You can thank Sister Jessica Rivas for that. It's an E-pad transformer. Looks like it's an iPad, Android note tablet. Wow. You guys got me on this one. I didn't see this one coming. I don't know where to go from here. Just remain standing. We're going to wrap this up. It's getting. I apologize for the time. This isn't your. As we said, it's not our typical service. I didn't know how else to do this. You know, you sometimes you just things like this. You just have to take care of I just want to take and challenge tonight that what we're doing, we're not doing it for ourselves. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about Brother Thompson. It's not about Brother Phil. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's about service. If you're not willing to serve your brother or your sister, I really don't know if there's any way you can get into the kingdom of God if you're unwilling to serve. I'm not talking about every now and then giving a hand, maybe once a year, but continual everyday service in the kingdom of God. And I want to challenge Brother Phil and Sister Fiona tonight as they take over the student ministries, that sometimes it takes a lot of giving, and not always. Of course, I just got an iPad. Sometimes it takes a lot of giving and not always getting a whole lot in return. Sometimes it's many, many, many long, lonely hours working, getting ready for events when everyone else has gone home. And you're still here working. But it's not about us. It's about Him. Sometimes it's easy to get an attitude and say, you know what, I'm sick of this. Nobody ever helps me. What would happen if Jesus, when He was out in the wilderness praying and He was on His 40-day fast and He was tired, He says, I'm sick of this. Nobody else is helping me. I'm done. But Brother Phil and Sister Fiona, you have a tremendous team of God-given individuals to take and assist you in this area of student ministries. But there will be times when you will have to deal with things that no one else is going to deal with. And you're going to have to do things that no one else may want to do, and sometimes it may be very lonely. But as a body of Christ, we have to support one another, we have to pray for one another, and we have to lift one another up. We will learn to laugh together as our new teams emerge. We will learn to laugh together, we'll learn to cry together, but we're also going to grow together. And we're going to experience our victories together as well as our defeats together. Because we are one body, different members, but we're all one body. This is what I would like to have happen now is in closing. If you're here in the congregation tonight, and you see one of your ministry leaders up here, and we're going to have to spread out a little bit. If we could just stretch out all the way down. If you're in the congregation tonight and you see one of your ministry leaders up here, I want you to come down. I want you to lay your hand. If we could turn around and face the audience. Lay your hand on them and begin to pray. Transition and change isn't always easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it can be frustrating. And if our pastors and our elders would come in behind them and pick a couple. I know there's not enough of us to go around. Brother, Sister Brown, go ahead and come on down. If some of our lay leaders, Brother Hop, Brother Rossing, our men's leader, our music, if we could come down and just begin to pray that God would take and use these people in this particular time, in this time of transition.